You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
Yep.
That what was a little bit delayed.
It was delayed.
More so than normal. Yeah.
I usually come in with a what earlier.
Yeah, usually. But because we're in episode 302, maybe you just, you know, you're getting tired of the podcast, Todd. Do you still like the podcast?
I love the podcast. This is my favorite of podcasts. Don't tell anybody. What's your favorite podcast? You have to say in between because you do it with your wife.
That one is fun. Yeah.
But but you didn't say that. You passed on.
Which one's my favorite?
It's like my kids.
Okay. I don't have favorites.
You don't have to say. You don't have to say who your favorite co-host is either. You don't have to say. Everybody knows. They can tell.
They can tell. Well, today we have a great question from Tim Zuck. I really don't. Tim Zuckerberg. I don't really know how to say his last name.
Hey guys, Tim Zuck here, planning a church in Forks Township, a suburb of Easton, Pennsylvania. In recent months, I've read and heard a lot on podcasts about a leadership pipeline and discipleship pathway. My question is this: how do you get something like that started in a church plant that's about 100 people? Specifically, what would that look like for a church of our size? Any feedback that you could give me would be great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Leadership pipeline and discipleship pathway.
We don't know anything about either one of those. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, we have recorded
just completely out of our wheelhouse.
We have recorded a few other episodes on this that you can definitely look up on newchurches.com. But the unique thing about this podcast question is that it's for a church plant of 100 people. So there is another podcast, which we'll link to in the show notes, where we give a overview, where I give an overview of what I talk about in No Silver Bullets, the relationship between, thank you, a leadership pipeline and a discipleship pathway. And you know, you can listen to that episode for more context. But basically, it's, you know, leadership pipeline is what you have in your church to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And your discipleship pathway is what you have to mature them toward Christ. They're not the same thing, but they do intersect at many different points.
The other thing I think would be really helpful. So if you've got the book, you can just look it up. There's a great visual there. If you don't have the book, you should buy it. But then the other piece is there is a 90-second leadership that's hashtag 90SL that Daniel did that is a great visual of what this looks like. So he takes 90 seconds and breaks down exactly those two things. And so I would say, especially if you're going to be talking to a team about this, it's a really, really good thing to share with your team. We'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, sounds good. So in terms of this question specifically, when it comes to a discipleship pathway and a leadership pipeline for a church plant of 100, what would that look like? Why don't you start with the leadership pipeline side, and then I'll fill it in with the discipleship pathway.
Well, I mean, you know, the pipeline piece of this is you've got everybody in your church has a different level of experience and competency in a multiplicity of things. When you're starting out, you just need to look at who are you going to put in what position. So selection is huge at this point. Selection is huge from a discipleship and a development pathway piece because you've got who you select is ultimately the poster children of what you're asking people to be. Mm. So the level at which you put people, all those things is vitally important. So I know at the same time you're like, well, I only have this 100 people to choose from. And that's okay because that's the life cycle of your church and that's where you are. And you just need to take the people that you have and then place them in the right positions. I would say the interesting thing about this is if you're just starting out with a church plant, you have a wonderful opportunity to clearly articulate where you're going and where you're taking people. Now, that meaning from a vision and value standpoint, but also from a pipeline standpoint, to say, okay, here's the positions that we have in our church. I'm able to clearly define those because they haven't happened before. So I've got a clean slate. So there's no expectations based upon what Bob has been doing for 26 years. I can have a clean slate and have that expectations. So one of the beautiful things is in doing so, you're going to provide, you're going to really set the tone for your ministry. Does that?
Yeah. So where would they get started? Role descriptions, training, onboarding, ongoing. I mean, what would you, if you were sitting down with Tim saying, first steps, I want to start a leadership pipeline in my church. It's a church of 100. What are my very first steps I should take?
Very first steps you could take is figuring out what, you know, if you've already, it sounds like you've already settled in for strategy on pipeline. So then it would be structure. So to say, what is the structure? I don't necessarily need, you know, a bunch of directors in my church, of directors of ministry. I'm looking at more leader and volunteer roles. So clearly saying, this is how we're going to structure. I'm going to make sure that we have clarity of language. And then moving on to role descriptions. Role descriptions are really going to be helpful because it's going to define for the person what a win looks like in that role, what the expectations are. And when you establish that, it's good for everybody because people know exactly what's expected of them. And you have an opportunity then to say what the competencies are for this role.
Yeah. So what's really fascinating about this, and I don't think I've really thought about it in this way, when we've consulted with churches like Pine Lake and, you know, other churches of, I mean, how big, like 8, 9, 10,000 plus churches, right? And then also churches of 100 and several thousand. The thing that we often have to spend the most time on is language.
Absolutely.
Is aligning all the ministry areas. Everyone's using different language for their different levels of the pipeline. And it just, it takes hours to, and it has to take time because everyone needs to come to an agreement on this. But for a brand new church plant, it's going to take the least amount of time because you just determine what it is from the outset.
You spoke it into existence. Congratulations. You can wipe your hands and move on. I mean, you know, the great thing about that really is you have a big part of what we do with Pipeline is helping churches bring clarity to their existing structure, to their existing systems that, you know, no church drifts toward simplicity. They drift towards complexity, which we've said on this podcast a dozen times. The reality is with that, you have an opportunity from day one to state clearly what competencies you expect and you can hold the line.
Yeah.
You don't have to add all these things because when you don't define it clearly, everybody goes book of judges and does what's right in their own mind. And that's why you have so many different ministry silos in the church and so many different systems and processes and language because every ministry kind of does their own thing and they don't have time to try to get on the same page with the other ministries of the church. Yeah.
Sounds good. Now, Tim, if you want a little bit of, I guess, more assistance on that, or if any of you listeners are thinking, hey, I want to establish a leadership pipeline in our church, I just want to highlight the fact that we have a learning community coming up. It's myleadershippipeline.com/learning community. It'll all be in our show notes. But the thing about the learning community is we have environments with leadership pipeline where it's, you can be in a group. It's kind of a workshop. We have other environments where we can actually come to your church and do a 2-day thing or a 6-month thing. Our learning community, we only have 12 spots. Most of them are filled at this moment, but there are a few that are remaining that basically with our learning community, it's us, Todd and I, with a few churches, up to 12 people max. And basically, we're going to be journeying for 6 months in helping you. We're going to meet 3 times here in Nashville, and we're going to do calls in the off months where we're going to help you develop a leadership pipeline in your church, walk alongside you for those 6 months, along with other churches there too. So be sure to go to myleadershippipeline.com/learning community to learn more about that. Well, when it comes to the discipleship pathway side of things, Tim, if you've looked at No Silver Bullets, I talk about this whole idea of looking at discipleship from a directional lens or a destination lens. And that's kind of the first thing that you need to set forth and say, okay, do I view discipleship as a directionally, or do I view maturity and discipleship as just getting to a destination? Once you hash that out from a philosophy, kind of from a theological side of things, then you get to the point of, are you wanting to focus on inputs as it relates to maturity or outputs? That's chapter two. So make sure you work through those two chapters, work through all of the audits and the questions I have through that. And then you kind of get all the way to the end of No Silver Bullets. I give you a framework for a discipleship pathway. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time on. In that framework, I talk about this idea of ongoing steps, first steps, and next steps. Basically, you can use whatever language you want, but the idea around this framework is, what are the things in your church that you are encouraging? What are those inputs that you are encouraging everyone to, the spiritual disciplines or rhythms that they're going to be owning, that they are going to be doing on an ongoing basis, regardless of how old they are as a follower of Christ and how, where they're serving? What are the things that they need to ongoingly do to continue to grow toward Christ? Because maturity is more about direction than destination. After that, after you set those things out, for example, how are you going to engage in scripture? How are you going to engage in groups and serving and such? Once you outline that, the next thing that you want to make super clear in your church is what those first steps are for brand new people, right? Both churched and unchurched. What are those brand new steps? So for example, if someone is coming in for the very first time and they're not a follower of Christ, what is their very first step? Is it to join a group, really? Or is it to join Alpha? Is it to go to your newcomers class? Or is it this? What is that first step for an unchurched and a de-churched, as well as for the church person who is moving in from another area? Set those things out. Set the first steps, set the ongoing steps. Don't worry about the next step stuff, especially as a church plant, but you can, because that's kind of continually growing. And that's stuff that you're going to have to think about a few years in. But I would really make sure you have those ongoing and those first steps set forth as you plant.
The crazy thing about all this is you just having a tremendous opportunity. I know that, you know, when you think about doing this with 100 people, it is different. You know, a lot of people will look at Pipeline and they'll say, oh, this is for a big church. But we specifically went back, when we did this, we made sure that it was scalable no matter what size church you have. So if you look at the standard Pipeline, it's four levels. It's volunteer, it's leader, it's ministry director, and it's the senior leadership at the church. So even a church for 100, you may not have multiple ministry directors, but you probably have a Sunday school director or, you know, a groups or discipleship, you know, person who is overseeing that. You may not have others, but at least you'll have that one spot. Every church, no matter where they are, has these types of roles. And so we would say, hey, Pipeline is scalable. You might need five spots if you're five levels if you're a larger church, but you know, this is a great place for you to start. And I'm very glad that you're bringing this up.
Awesome. Well, be sure to go to newchurches.com/podcasts and then click today's episode for the show notes. If you're wanting to go back and you're like, yes, I get this leadership pipeline, discipleship pathway stuff. I want to do a little bit of a deeper dive into this and listen to the episode where we introduce that at length, then actually go to episode 211. That's episode 211. You can open that up on your podcasting app, whichever one you use, and you'll be able to hear us continually moving that forward. If you want something to read when it comes to Leadership Pipeline, you can go to myleadershippipeline.com. We have Leadership Pipeline ebooks there that Todd has written. We have Designed to Lead by Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck. The last two chapters, just a little bit of inside knowledge. The last two chapters are the research that our team did, and that basically everything that we do with Ministry Grid and Leadership Pipeline, everything is based on that philosophy and framework. And also, if you're wanting a little bit more information on Discipleship Pathway, that's my book, No Silver Bullets. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.